Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 208, season 9. Today's date is March 26, 2023, and welcome to the show. And today's show is a special show. It's my second anniversary of the podcast that was launched 2 years ago, or around March 21st, I believe. So I will talk about that on the show. Also, I will talk about the old Chicago indoor amusement park and mall. Yeah, it was like a shopping mall too. So I will talk about its history. I have a couple of memories of that place. So we'll see. Okay, and that was located in Bolingbrook, Illinois. But first, we're going to go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Adam's ice cream flavored gum. This one was a doozy. I remember this gum when I was a kid. And this is a commercial from the early 1970s. After the commercial has played, and when I return, I'll explain about a couple memories of this gum. Okay, so sit back and enjoy, and I'll be right back. Thank you, everyone.
Once upon a time, there was a little stick of gum that had no flavor. He asked Spearmint to be his flavor, but Spearmint already had a gum. He asked Cinnamon and Peppermint, but they were taken too. The fruit flavors just ignored him. And Watermelon was just too lazy. Then, just as he was about to give up, something wonderful happened. Ice cream. The greatest flavor in the world, and no other gum had it. Together, they would be ice cream flavored gum. His search was over, and now you can get Adam's ice cream flavored gum in three great flavors: vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Adam's ice cream flavored gum. Vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Adam's ice cream flavored gum. It was made by the Adam's Gum Company, I guess. So I remember this gum very well. And it came in three flavors, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. It had on the wrapper, had a clown holding an ice cream cone. This gum... It was introduced around 1970, and it only lasted about a couple of years, 72, 73, something like that. And I remember when you chewed this gum, the flavor didn't last very long. It was there like maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes. No, not 5 minutes, less than that. And then once it was done, it didn't taste very well, and then you just spat it out or just threw it in the garbage, you know, take it out of your mouth and do that. A couple of memories of this gum. I used to, when I lived in the Roseland neighborhood in Chicago on the South Side, my mom bought this gum for me. She bought it for me in Kresge's, I believe, Woolworths. And also, there was a store in the Pullman neighborhood that was east of the neighborhood. And a friend of my parents owned a grocery store right across from Pullman Elementary School. I went there for 1 year in kindergarten. We lived in South Shore. Then we moved over there. So I was half a year in Bradwell. Half a year, that was located in the South Shore neighborhood, and on half a year at Pullman, that was on East 112th. My mom used to you know, walk me over to the school. I was very young, and I have good memories of that school. It's still there. It's beautiful. It's very nice. The store, like I said, was owned from the friends of my parents, and we bought a lot of candy there. I remember beech nut gum as well. Also, I got this gum when I went trick-or-treating in Roseland. Yeah, I did a little trick-or-treating there, but we lived on Michigan Avenue, right above a shoe store. My father owned the property. And also, we did dress up in Halloween costumes at school at Corrias Elementary, and I received that gum as well. Let's see. So I like the chocolate and vanilla strawberry, not too much. But I look forward to the chocolate one. I like the vanilla better. I wish they made Neapolitan. That would have been interesting. I don't know if the Adams company is still around. I think it was bought by Nabisco or something like that. And right now is... I think it's part of the Cadbury company, you know, from England like that. And they still make like dentine and chiclets. I haven't seen chiclets in a while. I used to like that. I like the fun size, you know, the little ones. So that was another product that went into oblivion. Just a reference to my other podcast, that is the TV Oblivion one. Okay. Okay, so in the beginning of the program, I said this will be the second anniversary of the podcast, Vanishing Chicagoland Stories. Also, I will talk about Old Chicago Indoor Amusement Park that was located in Bolingbrook, Illinois. So, let's get started. We'll talk about the podcast first. I believe I launched it in March 21st, 2021. I think I mentioned the history of this before, but I'll do it again. I was going to launch the podcast in January 2020. Unfortunately, the month before that, I got diagnosed with prostate cancer, so I put that on hold. Right before that, when I was diagnosed, I wanted to do a podcast, so I enrolled in a class to learn how to do it. There were two classes. One got canceled, and then they told me just come to the second one. It didn't make sense. I go, all right, fine. But I learned a lot online and how to do it and all that, but it wasn't really necessary. But the instructor was very helpful and informative about launching it, saying what equipment you need, pick on a topic that you love. And it's true. And then mine was Chicago history and my memories of that. And also based on the Facebook page, Fan of Chicagoland. So I was going to launch it in January 2020. Then I got sick. Then I got operated in April. It'll be 3 years this coming month. So I had to wait till I get operated, go to radiation, recover. It took a while to do that, and I was not up to it. I was too weak. It was very trying. I just was not a good time to do the podcast. So I wanted to do it later on in the year, but I was not ready. No, I was not ready. And then so I decided in 2021 I would do it in March. I was up to it. So I did, and I recorded my first episode. I was very nervous because I'd never done this sort of thing before. It was just something new to me, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. I have to do one, you know, because I have a wonderful topic to discuss. You know, even a couple of people send me messages say, you got to do a podcast on your page, on your Facebook page. Okay, that was mentioned to me, even mentioned in person, that is, excuse me, a couple years prior. And I said, I'll think about it. But the more I thought about it, I'll do it. You know, I thought it'd be too hard to do an episode, but fortunately, it's not. And there's so many topics to discuss. It's limitless. Sometimes I repeat a couple, but that's okay, you know, because people like to hear it again. I remember one guy on Twitter, he says, "Oh, you talked about this already." Well, fine, but maybe other people haven't heard it yet, or, you know, they don't have time to go. I've done over 200 shows. You think, I don't know if anyone's heard me every episode, possibly, but I'm not sure. So I put together the podcast. Then I used some theme songs. I had old commercials. It's like an old radio show. You know, nothing flashy, nothing special effects like that. It's just plain. It's enjoyable. You know, simple. People like that. They really do. I like it myself. It took a while to build up, you know, the audience, but now it's doing fine. I don't know what rank I am. I try to find that out, but I'm not sure. But I gained a lot of listeners for the past 2 years. And the more I post on social media, and then I created a YouTube channel of the same name, Vanishing Colorado Stories, and then it kind of grew a little bit. And now they recognize that. As for feedback of the podcast, most is positive. Some are negative because I do a lot of I've said this reason before. I'm very nervous. I don't like speaking. Even there's nobody here. I'm very nervous. I'm okay when I see somebody, you know, or meet someone, you know, for lunch or dinner or talking, or go to my church or any place. But if I'm with a crowd, the anxiety comes in and I just go crazy, you know. But I'm that type of person. I don't like to talk like that. I love to talk, but I don't like to talk with people, a group of people like that. That's why I don't like going to parties that much. It's very awkward for me. It's always been like that since I was a kid. And other complaints I got from people is, I don't hear you well. You're wrong on a few things, which is true. Sometimes there's misinformation. Okay. And so I try to correct that if I remember. I apologize for that. You know, I do my best. I really do. Some people don't care. They just love listening to me, especially my family, my friends, my followers. They loved hearing this. They look forward to it. And I wish I could do this every day, but it's a little hard because I have other things to do. I have responsibilities. I can't do that. And so I will continue whenever I can. There's so much to talk about. There really is, like I said before. And some people send me messages. They request, can you talk about this? Can you talk about that? And I said, sure, I'll try. I try to remember it. You know, because Chicago has a rich history. There is so many things that have disappeared. And they wish they would come back. And they would just talk about the simpler times of that, when their favorite store, their favorite restaurant. I talk about events. It happens in Chicago, or like a celebrity, you know, that's Chicago connected. I would do that as well, you know, because based on my memories when I was growing up here, you know, watching on TV, listening to the radio, reading the newspaper, you know, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's funny. You know, it depends on the situation. So I'm very fortunate, and so I've been a podcaster. That's it's amazing. Someone emailed and said, "You are now a podcaster," and that's a nice feeling. You know, someone say that. and get recognized for that. That's kind of cool. Okay. That is all for that. And right now I'm going to talk about the old Chicago Indoor Amusement Park and Mall. So let's get started. Okay. Let's see what we have here. Old Chicago was a combination indoor amusement park and shopping mall. And that was located in Bolingbrook, Illinois. It was southwest of Chicago. And it opened on June 17th, 1975. And it closed in March 17th, 1980. Oh, boy. It's kind of scary like that. And I remember when it opened. I remember the commercials. People talked about it. And it had a lot of fanfare. And it drew crowds when it opened. And because it was promoted very well. And when it opened, it had over 15,000 visitors. That's a lot. Oh my God, that was something. And it had amusement park rides. For example, they had three roller coasters, a Ferris wheel, shopping. It resembled like the shopping mall is like the. It reminded of the 1893 World's Columbian Exposition in Chicago, like in the South Side. And to tell you the truth, I've never been there. I never went. I never was invited. I asked my mom to take, but she started driving around that time, and she was too scared to drive far away. So I had to ask some kid's other parent if they could go. I think I remember one kid in my old neighborhood that was going. I wanted to go, but there were too many kids, so I was not invited. You know, so I was disappointed. I wanted to see it, so I guess not. And when they came back, I asked him, how was it? And he said, it was cool. I liked it. It was great. Okay, that's fine. I unfortunately never went, like I said before. Okay. So the address of the place was 5555 Three Fives, South Bolingbrook Drive in Bolingbrook, Illinois. The man who designed it, his name was Robert Brindle. And he got that idea when he visited a Knott's Berry Farm, that famous amusement park in Buena Park, California. Always want to go there, you know. And he figured, why don't we do something like that in Chicago? But something unique. It would be indoor, not outdoor. So this park would be open every day, all year round, which is great. You know, it's a very novel idea. All right, why not? We'll do that. And so, like I said before, they had a grand opening. And they had a old Chicago TV commercial, and they had this young lady tap dancing on top of the dome. If you see pictures of old Chicago, you see that dome like that. And she was tap dancing, and there was a cameraman inside a helicopter filming it. And I heard it was very windy that day. Of course, it's a windy city, so... That I don't think the commercial is on YouTube. I try to find it, but I think there's a clip somewhere on that. So I wonder what she's doing now. Her name was Michelle Muth, M-A-U-T-H-E. She must be wondering, oh my God, I'm famous for that. construction of the mall was not yet finished. Because there was still electric wiring exposed, so they worked around the construction crews worked around the clock just to finish it, like the following week, and then it then everything went fine. And the when the place opened, it received over 50,000 visitors each weekend, which is nice. You know, that's spectacular for a something amazing like that. And so it had not only had rides and stores, it also had concerts. I'll get to that in a moment. It was all kinds of entertainment. Also had arcade games like pinball machines, a skeet ball, based on pictures I found. So there was something for everyone. You know, if you don't want to ride on an amusement park or you're scared to death, go to the arcade and play games, or go to a concert and be entertained. Do that. Just like Great America. It's just like Six Flags, which then was called Marriott's Great America, and it opened around the same time. And but that was more successful. And that's located in Gurnee, Illinois. Like that. Okay. Then let's see what else. So the roller coasters they had, there were three of them. One was called the Chicago Cat, and the other one was the Chicago Cat was like a steel roller coaster. I think it was called the Zyklon or Galaxy or something like that. That was there from the beginning to the end. All three of them were, as a matter of fact. They had the toboggan. So I don't know much about that. And also, last but not least, was the Chicago Loop. That one was very famous and very memorable. And people enjoyed that roller coaster. They really did. And it was like a corkscrew, you know, is inverted like that. That's kind of nice. I wouldn't mind riding that. I didn't. Anyway, so they had other rides, for example. Yeah, they had other rides. Oh, before I get to the rides, when you enter the building, they had two lions on pedestals, and it reminds you of like the Art Institute. It really did. And that was kind of nice, you know, you do that. And so there was, after the park closed, they were removed, and then some, according to some stories, someone has possession of them to this day. So that's kind of, you know, so they're probably a collector's item by now. Okay, and let's see. So before I get to the rides, right now I'm going to play a commercial from 1976. And this is the old Chicago amusement park, and it mentions the Chicago Loop. And so just sit back and enjoy a simpler time back then. Thank you, everyone. I'll be right back.
The Chicago Loop, the scariest ride around. Rides for the little ones, a circus for everyone. Over 31 rides and attractions.
Old Chicago is the good time place.
Only 30 minutes from downtown.
Everyone's favorite magician, Mayor Charlie Baffle, the Windy City Wizard, performs dazzling feats of magic daily in the music hall at Old Chicago.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial of Old Chicago Music Park that featured the Chicago Loop roller coaster. That roller coaster, after the amusement park closed, it moved to Alabama at a state fair or something like that. But now it went to a theme park called Knoebel Lake Park, and it was renamed the Knoebel Corkscrew. And I think they repainted it. I don't know if they redesigned it. I'm not sure. And that was there from 1987 until 2021. So I don't know I don't know why they closed it. So that was a couple of years ago. And seems to me it became very popular as well. So that's that lived on after that, after Old Chicago closed up. And before I get to the rides, I want to mention a couple things about what of Old Chicago. They had a tragedy over there, and there was a guy. He was on a trapeze. His name was Jimmy Troy. He was 56 years old. He was called the Comedy of King Air, and he fell 20 feet to his death from the trapeze at the Old Chicago Circus. Oh, that was devastating. You know, that was, and you know, people witnessed that. Oh, that's not good. Like that. Also, you know, they had the shopping over there. Most of the stores were not anchor stores, like for example, Sears, JCPenney, Marshall Field, Montgomery Ward. They didn't have those. They tried to attract them to come over there. No luck. So it suffered because they kept closing one by one like that. They had restaurants. They had the Beer Garden. Yeah, that was one of them. They had a couple of fast foods, Arby's, roast beef. Also Wendy's, they had that. Also, they had a couple of pizza places. Time for Pizza, like that. As for business, submarine sandwiches, like that. Also candy stores, like Sugar and Spice. The hot dogs they sold. Also, a couple other businesses. They had like two bookstores, Old Chicago Bookshop, and also they had a B. Dalton bookstore. That's kind of cool. Also, there was magic trick shops. Marshall Brodeen, who played Wizzo on Bozo Circus, had a magic shop there at one time. I don't know how long it was there. Maybe less than a year. But he did own one, and he did. I don't know if he was there. Probably. I'm sure he was there. So they probably had. He thought he heard Old Chicago was opening. And he says, why not open a magic shop? I'll do that. So that kind of suffered because, you know, there was no anchors like that. So that was a shame. So each little store closed as the years went on, and that was devastating, you know, because economically, that is. And let's see what else. Also, of course, they had souvenir shops, you know, by the entrance, so you could buy balloons, banners, hats, t-shirts, anything. And you do find those on eBay from time to time. They're collector's items, and that's kind of cool. Like that. Also, maps of the place, like that. So right now I'm going to talk about the rides they had. Some of them, that is, like for example, they had the Roundup. They had the Tilt-A-Whirl. They had the Chicago Bob's. I don't know if it's the same Bob's as Riverview, maybe. the Scrambler, the Spider. They had a merry-go-round, you know, a carousel. Also, later, after about a couple of years, they opened Monster of the Midway. They opened that. They had their own rotor, just like the one at Riverview, where you stand and you're touring around like that. They had antique cars. Then, around that time, when Monster of the Midway opened, they had Barnstormer, where it's like these old-fashioned planes. They did that. They had bumper cars, the Enterprise, Trident. They had a Ferris wheel, and the Paratroopers. There was the Four Seasons. It was kind of a dark ride. Also, the Yo-Yo, the Toboggan. That's the roller coaster. Screamer, the Windy City Flyer, and of course, the roller coasters. What was that called? The Chicago Cat, and that was. Renamed Zyklon and the Chicago Loop. Also, they had a water ride called the Chicago Log Race. They had that as well. So I think a lot of people wanted the wanted to ride on the Chicago Loop. Also, they had the fairgrounds. That was a section where they had kiddie rides, some games, a haunted house. Celebrities appeared there, like, for example, Vincent Price. I heard he was a big roller coaster fan, according to some sources, and he made an appearance there. And also, other celebrities came, like local celebrities, like from the radio, you know, WLS, like Bob Surratt. He was there as well. And John Rickers Landecker, he went there as well. They also had the Muscular District Telethon. I don't know if Jerry Lewis went there. I don't think so. No. But you know what was famous for that were the acts, musical acts that performed there. They had comedians that performed there as well. I don't know which one. So here are some of the acts that did perform. Not everybody. There was one, Leif Garrett sang. There was Black Oak Arkansas, Tommy James and the Shondells, the Coasters, Wild Cherry, you know, played that funky music. Chubby Checker. Everyone remember Chubby Checker performed there. And they said he was great. Jan and Dean, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, Sha Na, and Gary U.S. Bonds, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Gloria Gaynor. This was the disco era. They also had their, they had a disco there. I forgot the name of the, Windy City Disco, I think it's called. I think it's called that. I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Guess Who performed? Rick Nelson. Let's see, who else? If I didn't forget anything. Peter Tork from the Monkees performed. Just him. Yeah, not the rest of the guys. Freddie Boo Boom Cannon. Also, Willie Ames from Eight Is Enough. He performed. He sang there. I don't know if he's a good singer. Also, Anson Williams. He's a good singer. From, you know, Potsy from Happy Days. He appeared there. Also, the Hudson Brothers. Oh, boy. That was funny. Also, everyone remembers the Ramones. They performed there. You know, that was, from what I heard from people, from comments on my Facebook page, they were wonderful. It's amazing they performed there. Also, the robots of C-3PO and R2-D2. That was probably during the time that Star Wars was big back then. So that's kind of cool. That really is. So it drew a nice, they had a great, great quality list of performers there. And people probably, some people have still have tickets like that. And unfortunately, you know, it was losing money every year like that. And that's a shame because of that. One thing I want to mention about old Chicago was something famous. It was the 1978 movie, The Fury. And they filmed it there. And you could find that scene on YouTube if you haven't seen the movie. I saw the movie a long time ago. I barely remember it, but I remember the promotion, the trailers they showed on TV. That movie is scary. And then the scene, they had actor Andrew Stevens, that's Stella Stevens' son. He had telekinesis, and he was, like, causing trouble like that. And he passed by the rides, and so if you watch the movie, you would notice old Chicago. And I don't know how they closed. I think they did close the park for that particular time and brought in extras, you know, to be in the movie. I think that's what happened. And that's what most people remembered about Old Chicago was that movie. They was associated with that movie like that. Okay. So let's see what else. So each year it just declined. Attendance was declining. They were losing money. some the rides are kind of becoming unsafe and unpopular. So, and let's see what else. So it's just a novelty wore off. So because, and there was competition from the Six Flags Great America, which is called Marriott's back then, you know, and that's a shame. It really was. And well, but let's see what else. So there, did I forget about a couple of things? They also had a dunk tank there. Most kiddie rides. They had the paratroopers. I think I mentioned that. So it closed on March 17, 1980. But they wanted to do something else like that. They wanted to turn into maybe some form of entertainment, maybe a casino. Or there was rumored that they wanted Comiskey Park to move there, you know, for the Chicago White Sox. That didn't happen. I remember the news they told about that. And let's see. So the designer of the, you know, who's of old Chicago, Robert Brindle, he was removed, and at the time, right before they closed. And then Illinois Central took full control of the mall, and they rescheduled the hours, and they added new attractions, and but that didn't work. And they began closing on Mondays and Tuesdays, and there were a couple, they had a couple fire 4th of July fireworks display, and that caused some fires and injured a few people like that. And so they closed, like I said, they closed in March of 1980, and but actually the mall didn't close right away. They closed about maybe a year or two, a year later, or like that. Like I said before, they tried to make it a casino. They tried to turn it into a baseball stadium. Nothing happened. And also, then became at like a car dealership later on. And then finally, the park was demolished in the spring of 1986. But, you know, it sat idle for like between like 6 years, like 5 years like that. And then the latest news about this place, Amazon bought the company. Before that, it was the Arena Auto Auction address. And then they changed the address from, you know, 555 to 200 Old Chicago Drive. So Amazon bought the property in 2020. So far, nothing's happened. It's just sitting idle. You know, there's nothing there. According to some people on Facebook, they say, oh, they drive by and nothing. There's no movement. There's, I don't know what's going on. Maybe they changed their minds. You know, from what I heard lately in the news, Amazon's like laying off people. You know, they cutting jobs. So maybe that has some effect on that. But we'll see. So some people who live in Bolingbrook, you know, they drive by, they see that, and they just, they see that empty lot, and there was Old Chicago, that big, huge building, and, you know, it's like the parking lot is crammed with cars, and that's why I posted that picture of that color photo of Old Chicago with the 1970s cars. That's kind of cool. Just that was my era. So people love that. Yeah, that's a shame. Like that. Okay. I think that's it. I don't want to go into more detail of that because I think I cover out most of everything about Old Chicago, indoor amusement park, that is. So I'll do a recap of what I said on today's program. I talked about my second anniversary of my podcast, Spanish Chicagoland Stories. Also, I talked about the Old Chicago Indoor Amusement Park in Bolingbrook, Illinois. So once this podcast is finished, I will publish it. It'll be available wherever podcasts are. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify. Also on my YouTube channel, Van Chicagoland Stories. That's easier for most people. I've been told many times. Also be on my social media accounts, Facebook and Twitter. Also on my blog, VanOfChicagoland.blog, if you'd like. And it'll be ready this afternoon. So just keep an eye on it like that. I will do another episode maybe next weekend. We'll see. I need time to think. So I'll come up with a dandy one. People don't say dandy anymore. I know. It's terrible. So that's it. And I want to mention one thing. If you can find commercials on YouTube for Old Chicago, there is one with George Wendt, who's famous as Norm Peterson from Cheers. I watched that and it's hilarious. This is before Cheers, so what must he be thinking? What must he be thinking now that he did this commercial? Oh boy, that was fun. Yeah, well, he acted, did some acting before he hit big with Cheers, so I guess he did some commercials, and that was Old Chicago, like that. Also, there was the mayor. Yeah, I forgot about the mayor. His name was Baffle, I think. I don't know. Like that. If I think of the name, I'll think of it. I'm sorry. So that's it. That's it, everyone. So this is Pete Costanis, your host of Van Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. Thank you for joining me. Everyone have a great Sunday. For the rest of the weekend, I will talk to you soon. It's bye-bye for me, and excuse me. And here's Ray Rayner with a little traveling music saying bye-bye-bye. Take care, everyone. So long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.